2 Samuel chapter 23. We have just had an election. To be the leader of the one of the most powerful nations on the earth and the kingdoms of the world. David, after being anointed and serving as king of Israel, was on his deathbed. And he says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." Now, that wasn't all the last words of David, but David, as anointed the king by God, said that he was man after his own heart. And yet David made mistakes. He made many mistakes, but he had many victories. And his victories were when he trusted in the Lord, and his mistakes were when he went on his own understanding and when he disobeyed God. And he led the people to, in doing that, he led the people that way. So he says, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. David understood that a man that rules well must rule in the fear of God, and he must be just. That means he's got to be right. I mean, he's got to be thinking right. He's got to... How could you be just if you weren't fearing God? So, my mind this morning has kind of gone towards the government. We've been preaching about the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdoms of men and kingdoms of the world for almost a year now. How they're so different. How they are exactly and diametrically opposed one to another. Now I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 8. I want you to look at the situation that some of the people got in with not a good king. Isaiah chapter 8 says, in verse 9, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. That's kind of hard to pick through, but I tell you, the people of Israel at this time were trying to align themselves in a confederacy with Syria, possibly Egypt, and they were saying, we need some help from ungodly places to help us get along in this world, in this life. We need to join forces with them so that we can be strong. And God told Isaiah, you tell them, say not a confederacy. You don't do that. You don't join forces with the world, with the worldly kingdoms in order to do well when God is your king. And he says that, say ye not a confederacy, and that, and then he says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's his people. He says God is going, and Jesus Christ, in effect, is that stumbling block, and he's going to be for a gin and for a snare. And he's going to be a stumbling stone to my people. Because they were searching for it, just like they were then, seeking to form an alliance with Syria. What did all the house of Judah and Jerusalem do at the time of Christ? They did the same exact thing. They wanted to form an alliance, and they were under the rule of the Roman government, and they couldn't put Christ to death by their own rules, and so they had to make a false mock jury, and they had to bring false accusations against him. And then when Pilate declared, I find no fault in this man, they hollered, crucify him, crucify him. They couldn't get it done by their law, so they wanted to get it done by the Roman law. And so they made themselves an association. They made an alliance with the governments of the world. God said, don't do that, my people. He certainly was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense then, and he is today, isn't it? You find a war on Christianity at every turn. At every time you turn on the news, or you see the paper, or you hear a story of something that this time, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Just in a few days, there are going to be some people whining about some Christmas decorations somewhere, and somebody putting up Merry Christmas or something like that, and they're going to take it to the courts. And I'm telling you not to be worried about the courts. Be in the fear of the Lord. Amen. He says, and there shall, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. He may hide his face from the multitude of his people. I don't understand that. We talked about it last week. How that the Lord went to the blind man, and he said, and he touched his eyes, and he says, how do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. He could not see with clarity, but he was not blind. And then he touched him again and said, now how do you see? He said, I see all things clearly now. It seems to me that God's people here were only touched one time. They couldn't see with clarity. And yet they were his people. And he says, But to those, he says, the house that he's going to bind him, hide his face from the house of Jacob. But I will look for him. I will look for him. He's my fear. I trust in him. I'm going to look to him and for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. You know what that means? That means that you, as an ambassador of Christ, you, me, and the children that God hath given Christ, they're for signs and for wonders in this world. Now, do you know that that there are many martyrs that have been, and for signs and for wonders. What did the disciples do? There were certainly signs and wonders were done by them to propel the church and to magnify the church in the eyes of the people. And it was a marvelous work in their eyes. And God did it. And He used His people to do it. Just like Esther was for a sign and for a wonder for all she delivered, all of Israel. Like David was a sign and a wonder when he was there and his son, his infant son died, and he, as soon as after that, he uncovered the mirrors and righted every chair and all that, and he stopped mourning, and the people said, why are you not mourning? Now's the time when you need to mourn. And he says, nope. He says, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. That's a sign and a wonder in the way that we look at things, in the way that we have our attitude towards life. How that when people get sick, and when you get sick, and you can trust in the Lord, and you can pray to Him, and give thanks even in your trouble, that's a sign and a wonder among the people. How many times have you seen people that were afflicted and they says, I just don't know how you're doing it. We got a sister right now that people are telling her that very same thing because she's been with her husband who's been in the hospital for 8 months and she hadn't gone home but about 4 or 5 times in that whole time. People ask her, how are you doing it? I know how she's doing it. And she's a great blessing and really a sign and a wonder to folks at the hospital. They all come up and say, I don't know how you've been doing it. She says, well, it's my church. She says, God's helped me get there. I couldn't have done it without Him. And the prayers of the people that I love, God is so good to me. That's a sign and a wonder to other people.
Amen.
I tell you, that's a great blessing. Now listen to what the people say. The ones that have just been maybe touched one time that are blind still or can't see with clarity. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Should not God's people look to God instead of wizards that peep and those that have familiar spirits? Have you ever seen godly people that made just erroneous statements about God? They've just been touched one time. They're not looking at things with clarity. God says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bested and hungry. You think he's talking about the land there. And they shall pass through it, pass through the land. Hardly bested. You know what that means? That means stiff-necked and stubborn. That's what that means. And hungry. Stubborn and hungry. These blind people that are telling you to go and seek out the wizards that peep and seek out those that are familiar spirits instead of your God, they're stiff-necked against God and they're hungry because they're idolatrous or they're not with God. They're God's people, seemingly.
the Israelites and the house of Judah was God's chosen nation on this earth, and yet by their disobedience they forgot about God and they got stiff-necked and they got hungry because of it. And he says, and they shall pass through it, hardly be fed and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen somebody that got so mad at God, they blamed God, and they looked up into the heavens and they shook their fists and like they were going to get mad at God and say, why did you do that to me? That's pitiful. That's a pitiful state that God's people even can get in. And he says, these folks, man, can you imagine being in that kind of state of mind? You're stiff-necked and you're hungry. Now, I think he's talking about natural hunger as well as spiritual hunger. But I think what's under consideration here is natural hunger. They're hungry and they can't get, and they're blaming God for it. And they shall look unto the earth. What's going on today? What's going on today? When people are looking to the earth for their help. They're cursing God and the king. How much political unrest is there in the world? And what's the most prolific new thing coming down the pipe is this earth worship. They shall look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. They can't find help nowhere, can they? Earth ain't going to help. That's not where their help comes from. They don't trust in God, and they've been dismayed by the king, and the earth's not going to help them either. They're undone, aren't they? They have no recourse. If they don't see God as their king, if they don't see any help coming from God, now that's, you talk about sad, that's God's people. I mean, where God had in a mighty way shown them signs and wonders all throughout their generations, and yet they forget God and they no longer fear Him nor reverence Him. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. That means it's not going to be such as was in her vexation. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. He says, he didn't say it was going to be easier. I think it's going to be worse. You know, when he says the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first she was lightly afflicted. He said, this is not a light affliction. This is going to be a heavy affliction, worse than that and worse than the other one in Galilee of the nations. Where did Jesus do most of his action? In Galilee, did he not? Why? I tell you, God knows. But this vexation, I can't imagine. Not only are they naturally hungry, but I tell you, for those who look for redemption in Israel, for those who look for Him, and can you imagine how dark of a place those people lived in? When you had the not only the natural rulers of them, the them being under the hard hand of rule of the Roman government, but they were also under the hard-handed rule of the Pharisees. They had the civil law under the Romans, and they were under God's law. Well, really, it was God's law adulterated by man that made it worse. Of the religious law. Man, they were just, these people were under law after law after law. And it wasn't that they had a lot of welfare programs that just gave you something for nothing, you know, just gave out food. They didn't do that. You had problems, you dealt with it or you died.
The people that walked in darkness, how great was that darkness, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I tell you,
we don't really understand what it's like to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, where it's always looming. I mean, I'm talking about naturally. I mean, yeah, our time is always ready for us to die. I mean, it could happen just like that. I could die of a heart attack, stroke, whatever it was, just like that. I'm talking about naturally where we are so impoverished that death is always near. And death is always around us. I'm talking about this situation is where the poor were not taken care of and they were left to die in the streets all the time.
You talk about a valley of a shadow of death. These people dwelt there. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoiced when they divide the spoil. Now I looked up that, and I just, if that caused a little red flag to come up on you, I looked this word up. Not increased there means to multiply. I don't understand that, why they interpreted that as not increased. But the word for it is to multiply. So let's read it that way. Thou hast multiplied the nation and multiplied the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Why do they, how can they rejoice in the valley of the shadow of death? How can they do that? For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden. What's a yoke? A yoke is a thing of bondage. A yoke is a thing of work. A yoke is something they strap on an ox or a mule that gets ready to do some plowing. A yoke, for thou, talking about God, thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. You know, when they carried something, they'd put it on a staff and they'd carry it between two people. Or maybe it had two buckets on, one on each end, and they'd carry that on their shoulder. He says, you've broken that. And the rod of his oppressor. You've even broken the rod of correction and the rod of oppression, where you have a slave out there and he's working and they come to him and they beat him saying, you're not working hard enough. He says that's why they joy, because God's broken all those things. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. I'm sorry, I forgot the last part. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian.
What happened in Midian?
I know all of y'all already know. Surely you do.
Do y'all know that what happened at Midian, where God, that's the story of Gideon.
Right.
Where Gideon went down there and God decreased his army from, I think, 10 or 20,000 to what, 300? And they didn't even take any weapons out there. They took a pitcher and a horn and a candle. They put the candle in the pitcher. And he says, now you go, you surround this enemy with your pitchers and your horns. And he says, when I tell you to blow the trumpet, you break that pitcher and let your light shine, and you blow the trumpet. And he said, they'll kill themselves. They'll destroy themselves. The enemies of God will destroy themselves.
Right.
He says this is that kind of victory. And this is the reason why we joy in harvest. Because every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this victory, this battle, he says, shall be with burning and with fuel of fire. It's not going to be a bloody battle. That this battle is not going to be have warriors and swords and blood like that. This one's going to be a different kind. And the reason why this battle is, why we joy as those in harvest, because the burden has been broken, the yoke's been broken, the oppressor's rod has been broken, is because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Remember what David started out with David's last words? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
That election we just had was the end of an 8-year reign. Don't know how long this one's going to be, but it's going to have an end. Whoever is the president or king or magistrate or whoever it is, it's going to have an end. And I tell you, the folks that are so distraught over the outcome of this election that they can't go to class or they can't take their exams and they have to go to a safe place, they have no stability of mind. Because they put their trust in this government and I don't.
Right.
My government is the one that I answer to has the government laid upon his shoulder and it's not in Washington.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
The government shall be upon his shoulder, and because he's ordered it, he's established it, and his kingdom shall last forever.
Amen.
And I tell you what, you're not going to have an election. You're not going to have another change in cabinet, friends, because he is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and the Son was born unto us.
I tell you, he came to save, and he did it.
He came to divide, and he'll do that. He came to bring together. I tell you, it says that he... It's been said that he comes to disquiet the comforted and to comfort the disquieted. And I tell you, that's exactly what he did for me. And that's what he did for you. I know that that you have been walking in the valley of the shadow of death, and you've seen a great light in your life, how that Jesus Christ come and he let you know that he was on his throne, and you rejoice as in a day of harvest just because you saw him high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. I tell you, there's a lot of people out there that see and they rejoice and they've been just touched one time, but they don't understand that the one that was born unto us, the Son that was given, reigns today on the throne, and they're kind of worried and wringing their hands about these governments of the world. And I can tell you that his government, Daniel said, that the reign of his kingdom, and that kingdom that is going to come, that is come, that's here right now, that it will destroy and consume all the other kingdoms, and it shall last forever. And I tell you that God stands on his, he sits on his throne today as supreme and the ruler of all the other kingdoms. And I tell you, I can't wait for his kingdom to come in reality. I mean, in my perception, in my for us to really see it coming down from heaven when he closes them heavens up and rolls them up like a garment, and he rolls up the heavens like a scroll. I tell you, I don't know where the stars are going. I don't care, because I want to see him as he is, and I want to see him face to face. Right now, I just see a little bit darkly. Right now, I do see not so clear. I see men as trees walking sometimes, and I can't put everything where it needs to go exactly, but I know this, that my God is on his throne, and the government is upon his shoulders, and I don't put my trust in man. I put my trust in God, and I fear him. I don't fear man. I don't fear man at all. They can do what they want to this old body. They can't take what God put in it. They can't take what God put in it. And I tell you that all of these people that lost their fear of God and that looked to the earth for their help, they didn't find it. All the people that are looking to the earth for their help, or to the king, or the president, or the magistrate, or the queen, or whoever they're looking for their help and sustenance, they're going to have to find a safe place in this world. And there is none. The only safe place is God, who is our refuge. Isn't that a safe place? That's a safe place. If we're hid in God, Brother John, what does that mean? That means can't nobody else find you. That you're on the inside. You're, not your name, you are engraven in the palms of his hands. You're in the hand of Christ, and Christ is in the hand of God. Who's going to take you out? What kind of problems could you be afflicted with in this world that would deny the power of God? That would make you be denied of your eternal home? Nothing. What's going to separate you from the love of God? Nothing. What's going to happen to you so bad in this life that you would sell God out? I pray nothing. Where's your hope come? Where's your hope? Where's your hope in? And where's it come from? There's a big difference. Well, it's not a big difference. It's the same thing. Your hope is in God, and your hope comes from God. It just boggles my mind how people can get so distraught over an election. That they can't even go to class because it's just bothering them so bad. Has anything ever bothered you that bad? If it is, you're not. If it has, you're not looking high enough for your help. Your stability
is waning, if that's what bothers you and what disquiets you. What did David say when he was talking about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet thou hast, I'll fear no evil." He says, and later on in that psalm says, "For thou preparest me a table in the midst of mine enemies." Can you imagine? He's talking about this. He's talking about being a table of nourishment on a battlefield in the midst of a battle. That no matter what goes on around you, you've got stability of mind and you've got an anchor of your soul that's sure and steadfast, that these things that are going on about you don't disquiet you, but that you're able to enjoy a feast with the Lord in amongst all your troubles. Jesus Christ, He's the wonderful Counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. And not going to be any peace in this world. That's a Pollyanna dream where unicorns have rainbows coming out their eyes. Where gumdrops, you know, Candyland, where gumdrops grow on trees. It don't exist, and it will never exist. The reason why the angels cried, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men," is because Jesus Christ was born. And He is peace.
Right.
He is peace.
Right.
The kingdoms of this world are never being in peace because they're jockeying for position, and they're trying to gain supremacy in this world. And that's all going to come to naught because Jesus Christ is King.
Amen.
I pray these have been a blessing to you. Don't get so distraught over the things that happens in the kingdoms of this world. My trust is in the Lord and my fear is there. The doors of the church are open for reception. The members should even have that desire today. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.